Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and the 16th chapter. We're going to read verses 24 through 28. You can also put your thumb in Psalm 37. And we'll visit that for a moment as well. And perhaps James chapter 1 if you want to do that. But our text for this morning is Matthew 16, 24 through 28. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Let's hear His Word. Speak, Lord. We thank You. What a marvelous hymn that is by Keith and Kristen Getty. Isn't it? Speak, O Lord. Build Your church till the earth is filled with Your glory. Hear His Word. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Father, fix our hearts today. I mean, cut out the bad, put in the good, shape it up and get us moving forward. Help us to put You at the center of what we do, that we might be in proper orbit and going after things that give You glory. Help us to understand these aren't boring things. These are wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We'll call today's message, strangely enough you might think, but I want to shape your thinking today through the Word of God. And let me give you this title, Chasing After Your Dream. Chasing After Your Dream. Now, if I said that, you might think of any number of texts or, you know, well, that means, you know, go after God or whatever you want to say. But you might not immediately think of this text, but I want to talk about this. And, you know, it's graduation time again. People are graduating and or going from 5th grade to 6th grade, right? Or 8th grade to 9th grade or 12th grade to community college or university or thinking about going to grad school. Where are you, dear? Yeah. And wonderful things, going to seminary, getting a promotion, lots of things. People are thinking about going off to college or career or what's their next move. They're chasing after their dreams, right? We do that, don't we? Everybody's doing that, really. Say, well, I've given up on that. Well, then you're just chasing your dream of sadness. Let me just tell you, even a 90-year-old, even a 98-year-old has dreams. I want my knees to feel better. I want to walk better and make the most of what I got left. So we have dreams, amen? And people are chasing after them. And when you got a young person or like someone coming back from school, and they got a few months, and they're probably just chasing some peace, right? But then they go back, they got to start up again. They're chasing after what? Their diploma, to get that degree, to be able to do what they want to do, right? So people are chasing after their dreams, and they're developing new ones. Will they be successful? Will they be happy? Most importantly, of course, you know I'm going to say this, will they keep the faith? Unfortunately, in increasing numbers, it seems, the answer for most is no. No. Now, why is that? Why do we lose so many people? I'm convinced it's because we don't see too many others who are convinced. Oh, we can know the facts of the faith. They can know the catechism. Crystal, what is the first question? What is the chief end of man? What's the answer?
The chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
And we know that. And we can say that. And we can even have good feelings about that. So we can know the facts of the faith. We can have real good feelings about the faith. And, you know, we have our teenagers, and they seem they're going to do good, and they know that they can quote the Bible back better than you can. As a matter of fact, you don't talk to them too much about it because you know they'll beat you down with the Bible club. And they have good feelings about it. They're at church, they enjoy the people, they're having a good time. So we can have the facts of the faith. We can have good feelings for the faith, but very few practice fidelity to the faith. They're not disciplined. They have no real fire. Now, they may have a lot of emotion. I'm not just talking about young people. You get that, right? If any man would come after me, the parallel account in Luke says. He was talking to his disciples and saying, look, some of you guys are going to get martyred, and I'm going to show you a little bit of my glory and all that, but I'm talking about putting it down here with us. And a lot of people can have emotion, but they're more Christianized than actually converted. And so they live in sin and call it liberty. Or they chase after something else because they don't think they can have what they want and serve Jesus too. So you get to college and the excuse is, well, you know, what about this philosophy? You know, start throwing up the straw men as if no one's answered those questions before. Knowing the ark or Jonah and the whale or this supposed contradiction. You can find one in this text right here. Even learned men have said, well, what does it mean here? Some will not taste death before they see Jesus in his kingdom. Well, you have to understand the context to realize he's talking about what is about to happen at the Mount of Transfiguration. And they didn't see death. And Peter, James, and John saw him come into his kingdom. At the cross, he came into his kingdom. The point is that we start making excuses this way and that way. And people, you know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a man that isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. So don't tell me when I don't see you here that everything is cool, because I know it's not. You don't have to be a prophet to watch the grass grow. Know what I mean? And we say that to our children, and we say, okay, learn the facts, and they've got the facts. Learn to have feelings, and they seem like they're so fired up and all that. Yet if they don't have discipline, when they reach something else, if they are at the center and Jesus is not at the center, they will drop what they've learned. See, I'm trying to help you with the mystery of why this happens to ourselves, to our children, and to others. And why people look at this text and think, this is horrible. But it's joyous. Again, this sermon is titled Chasing After Your Dream. Is anybody even close to being with me right now? See, graduates have put a lot of time and effort to achieve some things. They have goals for their lives. And so to talk to them about self-denial seems like the almost awful thing in the world. There's people in the back row right now that I could say, you know, I know that you think this is boring and you're doing it because your boyfriend's here or because your mom's making you and all that. And it seems like this stinks, man. Or you're older, and you're wondering, man, okay, is he going to come over here and actually talk to me? Maybe. But the point is, I get it. I'm not upset with you. I get that. I'm trying to say it's our fault. It's our fault. The people who need to be convinced and convicted and live a life that looks like it's converted and not just run off when you know what I mean? We can pretend all the way around, but when you put the tea bag in the water, you know what you got. You know what I mean? Little hot water. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. An apple juice, etc., etc., right? So, you know, you talk to kids or to new people or people, you know, they're just starting to come to church a little bit and they like it. You know, that's cool. I'm not mad at anybody. We're friendly people. We eat after. Yeah, we obviously eat afterwards. And you know, we try to help out monetarily if we can or whatever. We're just trying to be good. Yeah, yeah. And it can be fun sometimes. The music's good. It's all that. Yeah, yeah. But to talk about self-denial and chasing after your dreams in the same sentence, that seems like that's preposterous. Oh, he's just trying to get my money. Oh, he's just trying to make sure I'm here every day. Oh, he's just trying to get me to run for that committee or whatever, right? It's like, why would I do that? Sounds like awful, doesn't it? I mean, I admit it. Well, you know what? That's because people haven't understood what God means by self-denial. How there's joy and peace in that. And if you're a Christian here today, and you've been here, and I'm sorry if I haven't articulated well enough to you that there's joy and peace in denying yourself and putting Jesus at the center instead of you at the center, it's glorious. It's awesome, baby. Yeah. If you go around with frowny face all the time, what are you saying to people about Jesus? I wrote somebody yesterday, and it was their 40th birthday. And that their countenance and the joy on their face speaks well of Christ as well as themselves. And this person's had to go through a lot of stuff, and we all have to go through a lot of stuff, right? And Jesus says, guess what? I'm going to make you go through stuff. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be stuff. So we see that, and we think, first of all, I don't even want to come to church, some of the kids or whatever. Second of all, it's like, okay, so now you're telling me I got to get rid of me? What are you saying? This doesn't make sense. Let's just be honest, right? We're down there. Everybody down there with me? Down there in the dirt, you see what I'm saying? But we haven't taught people that there's joy and peace in that sometimes because we don't have it. We don't show them how self-denial helps them to overcome any and all obstacles to true satisfaction. Again, chasing after your dreams. We've not thought through this enough. We've not modeled this for our people. So we've not developed this in our people or ourselves. So people don't see any real joy in Jesus. Why? Because all they see are fakes, frauds, fads, and fickle. And what they want is something real, something that lasts. I mean, if the young woman or the young man or the older man or the woman in this place saw something that was real and something that lasts, then they would want it. Then they might be willing to give up something. Because I've got to tell you, I was willing to give up something for someone else to be where they wanted me to be yesterday a couple times. I was willing to give something up, including my time to write sermon and all this, to talk to somebody because there was something going on in another country, and it was mighty important. And I told them, call me at any time, it doesn't matter. And I meant that. Why? Because it was worth it? Because my mind was changed about this. It was denying myself. But it was a joyous thing. I wasn't joyous about the situation. But I was joying to God that, you know, we could be in this and show Jesus and be together. Because that's what we need, right? There's plenty of fads, fakes, frauds, fickle, frustration. That's what they're going to get out there in life. Why is Jesus different? And you're telling me to deny myself to get it? What? Christians who go halfway with God are miserable. Perhaps they attend church sometimes or even faithfully. They live decently. But their spiritual fervor is weak. They believe in the Lord, but there's no fire, no zeal, no pursuit of God through His word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship. Why? Their faith is an addition to life, not the center.
Amen.
Their orbit is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? It's actually themselves at the center, and so they run off in other directions when it suits them. Think they're bringing Jesus along with them. But we're not supposed to be bringing Jesus along with us. Jesus is not my co-pilot. He is the pilot. You are in the back seat. No, excuse me, you are in the trunk, gagged, bound, and everything, so Jesus can go where He wants to go, and you just need to shut up. Until you learn. You're in the car, and your three-year-old and your six-year-old are going, you guys just be quiet, or I'm just going to turn back around and go home. Right? Where's Jesus taking you? Around the wilderness for 40 years or through to the promised land? That's on you. He says, if any man will follow me, does he have the will? He's going to show us why, what and why, how to do it, and the reasons why to do it. Okay? So you ready for that? But again, people's orbit's wrong. They put themselves at the center, and so they just veer off when it suits them. Many graduates, and this can be said of countless others, like the faith now, but they eventually turn away. You know, we tell people, well, no, okay, what you're saying is, you know, put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. No. We tell them to put Jesus first, but we haven't taught them to put Jesus at the center. The center. I'm going to explain that. If Jesus is at the center, you can chase after your dreams and get them in a way that glorifies God. You can have ambition and not be selfish ambition, but godly ambition. And it can, you know, you can make more money. Be successful, look good, whatever. But you got to put Jesus at the center. And that does change the orbit a little bit. Amen? When he says deny yourself, it means don't put yourself in the center. Put him in the center. So let's ask some questions here. I know we're not to the text yet. Is anybody hungry for the steak yet or not? Ask yourself some serious questions. Do you turn to God in your trials or surrender to fear and grumbling? Maybe we should do some praying after this. Do I have to get someone to play a piano and play Just As I Am or I Surrender All? Or can we come up to the front after we're done and pray about these things that everybody needs help with?
Amen.
Do you repent of sin or do you tolerate it in your life? Okay, that's about half of you so far. Are you confident in your own strength or do you see your utter need for the grace and mercy of God? The true answers to those questions say much more about your sanctification. Listen to me, because I'm going to point something to you, help you today, because I'm not saying do more for God. I'm saying something completely different. But your true answers to those questions say much more about your sanctification than whether you attend church regularly, give abundantly, witness continually, or fasted recently. So let's set the scene here. Jesus had told them that he is indeed this Messiah, the Son of the living God. Remember, Peter had that confession. These are the verses just before what we read this morning. He goes on to say that he's got to suffer and die, and that he's going to rise again. He'd been giving them the gospel, basically, Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was setting that forth before them. Now he connects his unique sufferings and his unique death with a life he expects his disciples to live. He was going to the cross, and he says, let me show you how that works for you. Amen? Includes you and me. This is the process that God uses in filling us with his Spirit and producing the fruit of the Spirit. In doing so, he tells us what we should do. That's verse 24. And then verses 25 through 28, why we should do it. Let's look at verse 24. Are you with me? All right, anybody? Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me. He said, oh, you're just making Jesus your dream. You're talking about chasing after Jesus. If he's the center, I'm talking about that in a sense, but I'm talking about your stuff too. Because you don't just sit there and go to church 24/7. You don't just sit there in your prayer, in a literal prayer closet, standing on your literal Bible and claiming the promises like that. You got to live life, bro. Yes, right. You're a missionary, not a monk. Yes. I'm talking about when you're at work, when you're in Walmart, wherever you are, watching a movie, watching TV. Yeah, I said that. Don't you want to know how that fits in? I want to know how that fits in. We're supposed to just be doing, deny myself means I can't eat a Ritz cracker? No. Anybody want to know the answer to that kind of stuff? How do you give God glory by eating popcorn? How does that happen? All right? I want everybody on the boat today. Come on. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The first principle I want to tell you, because you got to live by principle, my friend. If you don't live by principle, you just know a bunch of facts, you have a bunch of feelings. But if you don't have principle, you know, that will get trumped. Christians are people that live by principle, my friend. Discipleship is about self-denial, not self-discovery. Oprah is wrong as hell. Denying ourselves means we renounce, are you listening? Our passions for power, position, possessions, and prestige. Doesn't mean we don't have those things. It means that's not the thing we're chasing to begin with. Our self-interest must be sublimated, set under kingdom interests. Now, taking up our cross means we got to be ready to bear up under the affliction God sends our way as discipline to conform us to the image of Christ. Your cross, folks, is not to carry your sin. It's to give it up and have to feel the pain. Where your will meets God's will, that's your cross. We're to take up our training program, as it were, not just do it on our own, which I'm going to get to. The book of Luke 9:23 in the parallel passage says we take up our cross daily. In other words, you're going through life, and it's not just my program for my rigorous self-discipline. I'm going to read my Bible at 9. I'm going to pray at 9:05. You know, Vespers, you know what I'm saying? Superstitious, that kind of thing. It's, I'm going through life this day, and this is coming my way, and boy, oh boy, I do not want that. I don't want to deal with that person. I don't want to deal with that situation. But I know I have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. I'm going to explain these a little further. Following Jesus means we look to his obedience and example as our pattern for life. We walk his way. Now look at this in reverse. Look what it says forwards. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. See that? If any man's going to come after God, deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Let's say it. Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. So, you're not following if you're not taking up your cross, right? And you're not taking up your cross if you're not denying yourself. So denying yourself is where this thing starts. You really want to follow Jesus and you're not denying yourself. If you've never repented, if it hasn't cost you something to follow Jesus, and I don't mean you just burn your records because you don't want to listen to him anyway. I mean the loss of relationships. Oh. Having to follow God when someone else wants you to turn the other way. Denying yourself. I'm going to go into video games in just a minute. Oh, isn't that great? Oh, that's not funny. That's not fair. Jesus doesn't say nothing about being fair. He says, if you want to follow me, you deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. But denying yourself is not about asceticism, you know, whipping yourself, rigorous self-discipline. It's not self-torture. See, that's the problem that the kids see and that we don't live right because we think, oh, I'm living for Jesus. Jesus said don't do that. Don't say, oh, I'm fasting. It's not that, oh, Don knows I'm fasting. Oh, I lose my reward. No. But I don't go, Don, oh. Right? It's not rigorous self-torture. This is about joy. I'm talking about chasing after your dream. But if you're going to learn that, you're going to have to get all that twisted thinking out of your head. Does anybody want to get untwisted today? Think about the word wicked. Wicked means like wicker. We need to renew our mind and untwist our soul. Amen. Set who the sun sets free is free indeed. Someone is going to get set free today. Again, it's not about asceticism. It's not about self-torture. This is about putting Jesus at the center of your life. Deny himself. What? Not that I never can have a Carvel ice cream cake goes, woo! You know what I'm saying? Not that Amy can never, she's 40, can never make me an Oreo cheesecake again. God forbid. But what it means is that I'm not the one that's at the center, so every time I want it, come hell or high water, I get what I want all the time. You can get a lot of things that you want. I'm going to talk about this. Somebody shout. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm going to show you this thing today. It's about putting Jesus at the center of all you do. Because if you're at the center, you're not denying yourself. If Jesus is at the center, what do you do? That's the ultimate example of denying yourself. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, this is where we need the gospel. Because the gospel gives us reason to work hard and the assurance that our work is not wasted even when it seems so. 1 Corinthians 15:58, I did a sermon called More Than a Dream based on that. He says, based on the resurrection and all that that implies from 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of the chapter, he says, therefore, in other words, because of all this, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. So we can work real hard. It does free us to do this. God is not grace is not against effort, it's against merit. You don't merit, but you effort. So our work is not wasted. But at the same time, listen, self-denial is not just doing more for God. The gospel frees us to chill out. Yeah, you know, people waste too much time on some silly things. But the proper response is not some rigorous attention to try to be spiritual. Oh, I'm spiritual in every margin of life. I was making a joke with said person's husband last night, and we were getting, you know, it was good, it was Christian, but it was funny. And there might be some people that are a little uptight. And Mr. Desmond says, you know, one of the reasons I like you as a pastor is because you're not uptight. You can make a joke. You're not just all stiff, like, I'm spiritual, I'm pious. I'm like, yeah, of course not. It's not supposed to be that way. Yes, you're supposed to be reverent, but look, if someone tells a joke and it's a funny joke, you should laugh. Now, if it's off color, that's a different matter, but you get my point. The gospel lets us chill out, man. The thing's been decided. Hallelujah. Rest. Yeah. Be a Christian, not an ascetic. You're not a monk. Don't be lazy. But realize that Jesus didn't die and rise so you could stress out about whether you're being spiritual enough. So you want to tell you something? Take a nap. Watch some TV. The gospel frees you and you can be on fire for God and still be able to chill out. Witness. There's a witness right there. Yeah. You can have lots of fun. You can find new things to be fun about. The gospel frees you to chill out. Somebody should take that one and run with it. See, an adult who is totally about responsibility is overbearing, depressing, and not fun to be around. An adult who's totally about play is immature, boring, and not fun to be around. If Jesus is at the center, he transforms our fun and uses it to fire up our faith. So let's talk about this a little further. Look at verse 25. We started a little later today. We might go just a little bit. Take up your cross. Verse 25. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Does that mean I'm on a boat and I'm about to drown? I'm going to drown for Jesus. No. See, obviously means something more than that here. What does he mean? Those whose first interest is their self will never find full satisfaction. They'll never find it. Conversely, those who seek the Lord will find him and find life. Did I talk about Psalm 37? Look at verse 4 there. Often quoted verse, but we get the order wrong. Ah, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give yourself the desires of your heart. So you think, oh, I'm going to put God first as long as I pray before I ask for this $1 billion and adultery and fornication and gambling. Then he'll give me the desires of my heart. One of our elder citizens there knows that that is just ridiculous. But it's true, right? We do that. We think, if I just put Jesus first, if I just put him on my agenda, then he's going to give me what I want. No. He'll give you what you want because your desires are changed, because if you delight in the Lord, what's going to be the desire of your heart? He just said, the Lord. And so you'll desire godly things, and he'll give you more of him. But that doesn't mean you can't have a haughty husband or wife. That doesn't mean you can't have a nice paying job where you tithe a bunch. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. You live in America. You should give heartily and live heartily and worship with your heart to the Lord. But you got to put Jesus at the center. Let me explain this a little more. It's certainly about the eternal he's talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things are temporal things. It goes along with this. Results for the world we live in now. When we delight in the Lord, it will result in changing our... He puts the desires in our heart. Delight in the Lord and he will give you. He will make you want the right things. You don't always trust yourself. You check it against the Bible. Somebody still with me? When we delight in the Lord, it results in changing our desires, so they're in harmony with God's desire for us. Now, this is where the kids turn off and go, oh, I knew it. I don't want to be like that. Just wait. The test is that if your desires are not godly, then your focus, your delight is off center. I'm having a good time in Jesus. I don't have the strength, the health, the looks, or the money I used to have, but I'm more happy than I've ever been in my life. And I have more stuff than I've ever had in my life. I don't mean stuff material. I mean stuff doo-doo. You know? But hallelujah, it makes me grow. I'm planted by like a tree by the water. Amen? But see, our delight's off-center. We're delighting in the wrong thing. And so we get the order wrong. We think we should get what we want and ask Jesus to bless our efforts. Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, because if you delight in the Lord, your desires will be for the Lord and his will for your life. Delighting in the Lord leads to godly desires. You delight in God and God gives you himself. You see, it's not simply about putting Jesus first. It's about making him the center. You can't go all out unless you're all in. 1 Samuel 2:30 and John 12:26, I'll just paraphrase them for you. Honor God and he will honor you. Now listen to me. Now everybody listen. I'm going to really point something to you insightful. Are you ready? When you don't practice denying yourself, you end up seeding, like seed broadcasting, seeding anger into your life. You want to explain to you how that is? Lust means now. Lust doesn't mean just physical lust, sexual lust, I'm having impure thoughts. It means I want what I want and I deserve it now. That's what lust is. Whoa, I'm lusting after that thing. Right? Now, listen to me. Lust means now. What is anger? Anger is unmet expectations. Okay? Are you listening? So, if you're always giving yourself what you want when you want it and, you know, everything else doesn't matter, and then you suddenly have to deal with a situation that you don't, like a person gets in the way, the computer breaks down for a little while, your girlfriend says no, you don't have the money to go, you don't have gas, you get a ticket, whatever else, you start being more angry than you expect, and you surprise yourself. Why? Because you don't deny yourself, and so you're always living on lust, as it were. You know, what did Iggy Pop saying? I got a lust for life. He's wrong. And so you seed in anger. Like I've told you many times, you just play video game, 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 or watch the sports, watch the sports, watch the sports, watch the sports. You're always revved up. And so life at this level now looks down like this level. So you got to do more and more just to make it actually seem normal. Yeah. This is what happened in my life. Yep. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll are just wine, women, and song of a new generation, folks. It's the same old stuff. It's the same old, I'm getting what I want when I want it now. And I'm not mad at the computer. I'm not mad at the video games. I'm not mad at the movies. What I'm saying is if we're always looking to satisfy ourselves, you can't sanctify to God what you aim to satisfy yourself with. And so you're doing these things. You're redlining. You're always getting what you want, never having to lose anything, never denying yourself. When something happens that stops you from getting what you want, you get angry. And you did it to you. So you're not denying yourself. See, this is insidious. This is how the devil works. Let me show you this from another angle in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Is anybody? You've gotten enough to eat on already, but we just are getting us started. Verse 14 and 15. I'm going to show you a progression here. But each person is tempted when he is lured away and enticed by his own lusts or desire. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. I've had so many people say, I'm not going to do that. No, I won't cheat on her. No, I won't do the drugs. No, I won't go back to this life. No, I'm done with that. I know I did it yesterday, but I'm not going to do it. And they think by their own willpower, just by a lot of prayer and just reading their Bible, without practice. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, he didn't say, just read your Bible. That's the end part of it. Did you hear me? Yeah. Following Jesus, following his way, knowing his way. But the first thing you got to do is deny yourself. You don't deny yourself. You're just going to put Jesus as a little add-on here. Oh, look at my brooch today. Jesus lives. Not inside you, he don't. Ooh. Unless you're a Christian, unless you're living it. Come on. Oh, yeah. So you got the Spirit in you, but are you full of it? You're full of something? Look at verse 14. James 1, again, let me read it and then let me explain it. Each person is tempted when he's lured away and enticed by his own desire or lust. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. In other words, you're enticed. That's your own desire. Then you're ensnared. That means you're lured, right? You're dragged away. Then you're enslaved. Gives birth to sin. And then it's endorsed. Then it brings forth death. That thing you said you wouldn't even do, now you're saying, you can't tell me what to do. You have sin too. You justify yourself. It's not fornication. She's the only one I'm with. It's fornication, and you're going to hell. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. If anyone would come after me, deny himself. Again, enticed, ensnared, enslaved, endorsed. We're lured away. Then we're caught up, then we do the thing, and then we're willing to die for it. We're a prisoner of our own lusts. Now, what does delighting in the Lord mean? It means you build in godly habits. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You're walking the right way. Now, let me get practical. If you're going after some goal, all right, say it's some career path. You aren't where you want to be yet, right? You still have some education to go. You still have some training to do, some skills to learn, right? You're going to be doing some things you can't do now. I'm going to be a neurosurgeon. Well, first, you know, you got to finish your bachelor's degree, finish high school, finish your bachelor's degree, finish your master's degree, you know, your residence, you know, learn that particular branch, learn the tools of the trade, the new stuff, be up on the journals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can get there, but you know you've got to go there, right? Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Are you going there? Okay, whatever your path is, think about it. When you get there, there's going to be some things that you can do that you can't do now. You'll have some skills you don't have now. But even then, you can do some of those things you'll be doing then. You say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know, and I'll be a godly person and all that, and I'll read my Bible and all that. You're waiting to that to do this? No. You got to do the stuff that you can do now.
Right.
Or you won't do those other stuff. Or you'll do that other stuff and you'll do it without God. You see, I'm going to be this beauty queen, and I'm going to be this doctor, I'm going to be this sports star and all that, and I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus, well, and I'm going to read my Bible and pray and all that, that's the part that you can do now.
Yeah.
Honor God and he will honor you. Maybe he will stop. Oh, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Well, I made it anyway without God. That's because you're not his child. If those crosses aren't coming to you, if everything is easy and breezy, look out. Anybody listening? even now, you can do some of those things you'll be doing then. You need to start plugging certain things into your life right now. You'll be doing them then anyway, so why not start now? Doing what we would be if we were the success we want or wanted to be. We may not ever move up to that big house that we want. We may not ever move out of the neighborhood that we're in. May not even move out of the house that we're in right now. But as good as we can make that house, as much as we can stand out for Jesus in that neighborhood, that's how good we need to do it now.
Amen.
That's delighting in the Lord. Because that is saying, I'm doing things for God, not for me. Although doing that helps you. As good as you can make it here, you need to make it here. And then whether you move on up for God, with God or not, He's going to be with you. You see what I'm saying? All right. I'm on my last page of notes. How about that? You have to give up control. Part of what I mean by that is you can't switch to control mode when it seems you got to lose some part of your life. Hearing me? Like control over money, so then you start hoarding it. If you delight in God, He may cause you to look broken and not the same as you might have wanted to before others. Being conformed to the image of Christ may mean you have to carry your cross right in front of other people. If someone sees you dying to self, it's a powerful witness to them. No doubt about it. But you got to realize that if someone sees you dying to self, they get to see the self that was so bad that it needed to die. Look at verse 26. Let me read through those again. Discipleship is about self-denial, not self-discovery. Those whose first interest is their self will never find full satisfaction. Verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? No temporal gain can compare to the loss of the soul. If you will not deny yourself now, by that very choice, you've denied yourself for eternity. And I'm not just talking about salvation. You can be saved, but you're denying yourself of eternal rewards. The rewards that are worth having are the rewards to come. You live for today by having an eye for tomorrow. I mean, all of life teaches you this. Don't you teach your children? Just keep at it. You will get it. You will get the hang of it. The first time they try to drive, you know, with a clutch, and they go, boop, 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 boop. And you're thinking, man. And then they tell you, no, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Why? Because they have something worth going for. Do you have a vision of what you're going for? If your destiny is heaven, your highway is holiness.
Amen.
Let me just get in a little more to the kitchen here, because it's just not hot enough yet. Busyness can be a form of laziness. It's doing the easy thing instead of the hard thing. It's filling our time with our own actions instead of paying attention to God's actions. Again, I'm not talking about just doing more for God. You see, we take charge. And we don't allow, you know, we do everything for God, but we're still at the center, really. Oh, God owns the building, but we're the foreman, let me tell you. Right? It's taking charge, not allowing God to present His agenda to us. It's sanctification on our own schedule. Oh, we're diligent in a way, but it's out of the way of having to deal with that besetting sin or the very thing that God wants you to work on right now, which is the flaws in your character. We may have an unhealthy desire to measure up or to earn approval through the idol of achievement. We often pass this on or live this through our children. You need to stop justifying yourself and just deny yourself by seeing as sin that thing in which you are intentionally ignoring. You're being busy so you don't have to deal with it. Men, they throw themselves into work, right? Women, they throw themselves into their children. I'm not saying that's all bad, but if Jesus isn't at the center, that will be the idol to you, baby, and you think you're following God, you go, but you're not really discipling your kids. You're teaching them to lust just like you.
Right.
I get it. I understand. Instead of worrying about putting Jesus first in your life, oh, that's what He's telling me. No, it's not what I'm telling you. What if you concentrated on making Him the center of every area of your life? Not just the top priority in front of every priority. Oh, Jesus is number one. But the top priority in every priority.
Right.
In number one, number two, number three, number four, I'm seeking Jesus in that. Not Jesus, then my family. No. Jesus in my family.
Yes.
What happened to the family altar? Some people don't even know what I'm talking about. Not Jesus, then my career, but Jesus in my career.
Yes. Yes.
Big tidal wave called everybody. Not saying that if you're not getting what you want, that you don't love God enough, and that if you love Jesus enough, you're going to get what you want. I'm saying something completely different. I'm saying that what will motivate us is to place Jesus at the center. Understanding that it's His love for us that put Him there. If you think that men and women down through history of the church have been used by God and somehow it's because they were driven by their love for Jesus Christ, you do not understand what I am saying. The reason they loved Christ, the reason they were used by Jesus is they were driven by Christ's love for them. You see that He has done these things. You see that He is at the center. He is informing all that you do. And your love develops. We love Him because He first loved us. And even when we dropped the football, He scored the touchdown. If you're banking on your love for Jesus, you fail, and I want you to fail. Because I want you to find the real gospel. Woo! It's my choice. Jesus is just at the center, but you're turned around. That's what repentance is called. Chasing after your dream. It's what God wants for you. Put Him at the center and go God's way, and then He will move you toward those dreams that you want, because delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And everything that orbits around them. You can be a news anchor and famous and be a Christian. You can be president of the United States and be a Christian. You can be a famous model, famous actor, and be a Christian. You can have lots of money and be a Christian, but be a Christian.
Yes.
Deny yourself. Do you see how that fits with what I just said anyway? Take up your cross and follow Him. Verses 27 and 28, and we're finishing. For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels, and that Son of Man means Jesus, he's talking about Himself, with His angels and the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done. We read Psalm 62 this morning. He will render each according to his work. You say, oh my goodness, this is against grace. Not at all. Keep listening. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Last principle, the Son will judge according to the principle of self-denial. Jesus is not telling us that we're saved, loved, or favored because we deny ourselves. We're not saved because we deny ourselves. Salvation is by grace through faith. However, we're rewarded in the next life for obedience in this life. I did a whole sermon on that called Crown Him with Many Crowns. Naturally, we all want to be rewarded right now, right? But we're supposed to delay our expectations. When we are rewarded in this life and in the next, it'll be greater than anything we could possibly expect. I could say, I have this certain IQ. I have these credentials. I have this skill and ability. Why, pray tell, am I in Citrus County preaching to 100 people when I could be in Orange County, Los Angeles, preaching before thousands of people and hold my own if I thought that or whatever. Let's just say. And yet, I see people that I know need me, people that aren't here that I know need me. And I needed them, and God brings me to them, and I'm much more satisfied with what might seem a lesser display of my goals and skills and talents or whatever, and I'm more satisfied than I ever could have been with what other people might call less than when I had everything that I wanted and can do whatever I wanted to do. If you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, that we got to follow Christ and we look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. That means He starts it, He finishes it, He's bringing us all the way through it. For the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Sometimes it doesn't feel real nice to have to go through some things you don't want to go through. But if you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him, there's glory on the other side. When we are rewarded, it'll be greater than anything we could possibly expect. I am well satisfied with you as a church. But I do want more. And the more I deny myself, and I want people to be here because I want to say I preach before this many, and we have this, and when someone at a conference says, who are you? I say, I am this. If I deny myself and say, I want it because I want people that don't know Jesus to know Jesus. I want people that just seem down and out and have had tragedies in their life. Look at the triumph of Jesus Christ. And when I say, if I got one, I got enough. And I do because I'm preaching to an audience of one. When you do that, boy, he fills you with his Spirit. And that is a mighty reward even in this life. I am telling you, if you've ever been filled with the Spirit of God. Woo! I ain't talking about goosebumps. Man. In that regard, Jesus tells him that some will get to see a glimpse of this glory before they die. And just a few days later, Peter, James, and John see Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration. See, we need a glimpse of glory every once in a while. The glimpse gets you through the grind. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. The principle of spiritual life is self-denial. It means putting Jesus at the center, and taking up your cross means you're killing you. That's how you follow him. If you're not going after Jesus, you're going the wrong way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And that means even now, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that you would know the Father and the one whom he has sent. If Jesus is at the center, you can chase after your dreams, and you can get them, and you can get them in a way that glorifies God. And you can be eating popcorn and giving glory to Jesus. You can be taking a stroll with your wife and giving a glory to Jesus. You could be on your knees praying for that spouse and giving glory to Jesus. You could be down there at someone's funeral and someone that you really love has passed and give glory to Jesus. You can be there while someone spits on you while you tell them about Jesus and giving glory to Jesus. You can be there while someone gets on their knees and prays with you and accept Jesus and glorify Jesus. You could just be sitting here after lunch and going, la, 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 and giving glory to Jesus. Yeah. Who's at the center of your life? I didn't say who's first. How do you know who's at the center? Because the cross comes and tells you. It says, la, 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 here I am, deny yourself and follow me, or just act like you're the center. Heavenly Father, hallelujah, you're you. And we want to follow after you. It's so easy to say, oh, we're going to follow after you. Help us, Lord, to know what it means to have that joy. To chase after our dreams by putting you at the center. Help us delight ourselves in the Lord. Give us the desires of our heart for you. Help us know this is the way we can change. Help us to honor you. Help us to be humble in your sight. That you may lift us up, that we could see Jesus and be changed from glory to glory, Lord. Let this be a people, a church, not in some mundane, not in some like a monk, not in some miserable way of self-denial, but in a joyous thing saying, oh, Jesus is getting big on the inside of me, and that thing I thought I would never get over, I'm over, baby. Help us to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.